Parshat Vayechi begins with Yaakov in the land of Egypt. He's an elderly man, and as an elderly man, he's concerned with not his mortality as much as what's going to happen afterwards. Part of the conversation that he has is a conversation with Yosef, and the truth is that the whole first part of the parsha is directed towards Yosef, because Yosef is, of his sons, the one who is going to be the one that can help him fulfill his wishes, namely take him out of the land, bury him back in the land of Israel where he wants to be buried. Along the way, he gives Yosef some things. One of the things that he gives him is a blessing regarding his sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And let's begin in Perek Memchet, chapter 48, Pasuk Hei. V'ata shnei v'necha hanolodim l'cha be'eretz Mitzrayim, ad bui alecha Mitzrayim alihim. Ephraim and Manasseh k'ruvim v'shimon yuli. He tells him that the two sons that were already born to Yosef, namely Ephraim and Manasseh, they will be to Yaakov like Reuven and Shimon. And other children which will be born subsequently, they will be included within these brothers in terms of their eventual inheritance. If one wants to look, the Netziv tells us that he has, that in fact Yosef does have other sons later on, and he tells us why they are not significant. And they were subsumed within these other, within their brothers, the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh. A couple of verses later, in Kaf Aleph, Vayom Yisrael Yosef, Hinei Nochi Meis, verse 21, Yisrael, which, you know, whenever we hear the name Yisrael, we suspect that he's speaking on a national level. He says to Yosef, Hinei Nochi Meis, I'm going to die. V'yolokimi mochem, and God will be with you, v'shivitchem el eretz avotechem, he'll return you back, God will return you back to the land, which means that the covenant that was made with Abraham all those years before, where the Jews will be enslaved in a land which isn't theirs, is really being fulfilled now, and or is in the process of being fulfilled. But the other part of the covenant was that the Jews will be taken out of that land and they'll return back to their homeland. But in the meantime, as I said, part of what Yaakov's concern is not just that the Jews will get out, but that he himself will not be buried in Egypt. And then within this context, he says, "V'ninatati lecha shechem achad alachecha, I gave you one shechem on top of your brothers, asher lakachti miyad emori b'charbi uvakashti, which I've taken from the Amorite with my sword and with my bow." The difficulty over here is knowing exactly what the word shechem means, and we're going to spend most of the time today trying to understand what the word shechem means. And furthermore, I mean, which Yaakov says, which I've taken from the Emory, and I've taken with my sword or with my bow. When exactly Yaakov did this is not completely clear. Regarding the word Shechem, there are various possibilities what it means. Shechem, one, it means katef. It means a shoulder. How do I know it means a shoulder? Well, that's back in the situation where Shem and Yefet, v'yikach Shem v'yefet et ha-simla v'yisimu al Shechem shneihem v'yichu acharonit v'yichasu devart avihim. So if you remember, that's when they carry the clothing and they go backwards to cover up their father. And here we have the word Shechem, but Shechem over here means shoulder. On the other hand, the word Shechem can also mean the name of a city. Look at the second paragraph there. Bereshit yudbet v'yavor Avraham be'eretz ad makom Shechem. So you see it was actually called Shechem. Either it's called Shechem earlier or later it will be called Shechem, and the Torah is giving us a later perspective. The next is both the city and the person. V'yavo Yaakov Shalem Ir Shechem, asher be'eretz Kanan b'vo b'padam Aram v'yichan et pnei ha'ir v'yiken et chilkat ha'sadeh shenata shema olo miyad b'nei chamor avi Shechem b'mei ha'kesita. And Yaakov actually buys this from this area, from Hamor, the father of Shechem, but over here you see that Shechem is an individual's name. And the word Shechem, or the root Shechem, Shin, Kaf Mem, could also have an implication of the morning. V'yashkem Avram Baboker. Avram got up early in the morning, so here also you have Rashi insists there's a fifth meaning of Shechem, which all the proofs that he brought are unconvincing. Or, I'll put it differently, all the proofs that he brought can be argued that they fall into one of these other categories that we've seen. The Sefer Shorashim, and this is the right way to do this, is to look and see what he says. Look in 22, Shechem, Vishkim Avshalom. So mourning is one. Vishkamtem v'alachtem darkachem. Vishkimu baboker. Hashkem v'arev. Al Shechem Shnehem, that means the shoulder, like we saw that case. Al Shechma, v'yet Shechmo. Mashime al hakatef. Right? And therefore, la'ovdo Shechem achad. B'lev achad, v'dat achad. Over here he writes chelek echad. It can mean a portion. Vakol inyan echad, ki a katef tzad upeah, v'chein upeah nikret katef ulo katef hashenit. The last thing that he suggests over here is that it can also mean the word chelek, a portion. That's what Rashi seems to say, but Rashi is a little more complicated because Rashi will give us more than one interpretation. And it's actually Rashi's first interpretation that we will be intrigued with. Let's go back to source number two. Vanina tati lecha. Again, Yaakov, back in context, Yaakov, the elderly Yaakov in Egypt, says to his son, Vanina tati lecha, lefi shata toreach ulitasek bekvurati, v'gam anina tati lecha nachala shetekaver ba, v'ezu zo shchem. Let's pause for a second and understand what he said. That the context over here is that Yaakov is asking of his son Yosef to take care of the burial, make sure that he gets buried back in the land of Israel. So therefore, as a quid pro quo, it sounds, that you're going to take care of my burial, therefore Yaakov is saying in this context, and I will take care of your burial place as well. Now what leads Rashi to say that is he's going to quote from source number three. Let's take a look at it, and then we'll continue back in Rashi. Source number three is a pasuk in Yeshua. Now, we know that Moshe carries out the bones of Yosef, right? Atzmot Yosef are carried out. Ve'et atzmot Yosef asher lu b'nei Yisro mimitzrayim kavru b'shchem b'chelkata sadeh asher kana Yaakov me'et b'nei chamor avi shchem b'meya kesita v'yu l'vnei Yosef l'nachala. Now, the place where Yosef is buried is the city of Shechem. So now Rashi, therefore, ends up, again, filling in this missing information and saying that Yaakov is worried about his burial place, and therefore he's going to give Yosef a little incentive here that, you know, you take care of my burial and you're going to receive the city of Shechem as your inheritance. And that will be ended of the place of your burial. And, that, and therefore, according to Rashi, everything makes perfect sense. Let's take a look back in the Rashi. Ve'ezu zu Shechem, she'ne'amar ve'et atzmot Yosef asher lu b'nei Yisrael mimitzrayim kavru b'Shechem. Now you notice Rashi didn't quote the end of the pasuk. Well, we're back in two. But you notice Rashi didn't quote the end of the pasuk in source three. Why not? Why not? Because here it says that it's the place that he bought with money, as we had seen in one of the sources earlier. On the other hand, in our pasuk, what does it say? V'ninatati lecha Shechem echad alachecha shelakachti niyad emori b'charbiyu v'kashti. Which I took by force. So now, hold it a second. If I took it by force, then why pay the money? Or paid the money, what's the matter? Well, we'll see. Soon enough, Rashi's going to have to make Yaakov fighting also to make it fit. Yeah?
It's not the Shimon Levi story?
Well, was it? You tell me. I don't know. I don't know how you tour guides tell this over in terms of Yaakov. Was Yaakov involved in the fighting?
No.
So therefore, it's by proxy. Ashulakachti, by proxy. Shimon Levi is the one who took it by force. Right? Okay, good. Let's take a look at Rashi. Now, again, the pasuk itself that Rashi just now quoted to support his contention that we're talking about the city Shechem, that the word Shechem means here city, right? The end of the verse says that the one that he bought by money. So over here Rashi says, which, right, Shechem achad al achecha, Shechem mamash.
Shechem over here means literally the city of Shechem. Hi tiyelecha chelik echad yitira alachecha. This will be an additional portion compared to your brothers. Now, how is that exactly additional is not necessarily clear. But it's also interesting he uses the word chelek over here, as you'll see why. Bicharbi uvakashti, which I took with my sword and my bow, right, we're still in Rashi, still in source 2. Kishahargu shimun v'levi et anshei Shechem, nitkansu kol svivoteim lehizdaveg lehem, v'chagar Yaakov kli milchama kinegdan. So here we did not know that there was an after effect to this battle, that after Shimon and Levi went to war against Shechem, then various neighbors of Shechem came to attack the Jews, and at that point Yaakov did have to put his sword on. By the way, even if you accept this interpretation, so why is that really relevant to him having taken Shechem by force? It's not...
But the Tanakh doesn't say anything about that.
I know that. Correct. So Rashi... Correct.
It's very surprising.
So, right, if it happened. So therefore, Rashi over here is getting very fanciful. Correct? After saying all that, Rashi does give a second interpretation. Davar acher, there's another possibility. Shechem achad hi abechora. Sheitlu banav shnei chelakim. V'shechem lashon cheleku. And the word Shechem means portion. And the way, how does he know Shechem means portion? He says, V'harbe yesh lo domim b'mikra. And there's many cases of this in Scripture. For example, he brings a pasuk from Tehillim Kaf Aleph. Ki tishitemu Shechem, which, by the way, my English translation there does not say portion. It says they turn their back. They turn their back. That Shechem, again, from the word... From the word shoulders. Rashi there insists it means divide into pieces. The next example that he brings, Achalka Shechem in Hosea, which is translated again, is I will divide Shechem, the city. And by the way, one of the reasons, you know, that is actually, that's a reasonable suggestion, is the pasuk continues, Achalka Shechem. V'mek Sukkota Emdad, which refers to Sukkot, which is the place right near Shechem that Yaakov goes. Those are two cities next to one another, which means Rashi's working very hard to tell me that this means, again, the second interpretation, that it means Chelek and not the city, because he just as easily could have brought these interpretations otherwise. And I'll stop, but the rest of the interpretations are similarly. He does offer another interpretation at the very end. B'charbi uvakashti. Hu chachmato utfilato, which is almost uvakashti ubakashati. It's like almost changing it to my request, my prayers, instead of... That's Yaakov's power. Yaakov's power is prayer. Yaakov is in Ish Yoshevo Halim. In Source 4, the Bereshit Rabati, the Midrash writes, V'nitat lecha Shechem echad zechelek b'chora, shenatal et b'chora miruvein v'natati li Yosef. Which, when you understand what he's saying over here, and the Targum Onkelos says almost the same, I'm going to give you an additional portion to the others. So they are both following this, and the second interpretation that Rashi gives, that it means, chelek achad means an additional portion, which, by the way, fits into the earlier verse that I gave you, Ephraim and Menashe, Keruvin, and Shimon. What does it mean, Ephraim and Menashe, Keruvin, and Shimon? Okay, I'll give you a short, concise Dvar Torah that you can say, because this whole longer thing will be confusing. When we say, Yisimcha Elokim Ephraim and Menashe, let our children be, that's the blessing we give. And Yaakov says that, you should bless your children like Ephraim and Menashe. What's the big blessing be like Ephraim and Menashe? I mean, matter of fact, when Yaakov met them, he wasn't really sure who they were. And the simple reason is because they looked like they were assimilated Egyptians. But why, what's the blessing to be like Ephraim and Menashe? The answer is that he says, Ephraim and Menashe, Keruvim and Shimon Yuli, which means normally you have some type of, I know even though that you have those who are trying to convince you that there is something which is called evolution,
that generally when it comes to spirituality, we suffer from something which is called devolution, which means, or called in Hebrew, nitkatnu hadarot. I've already told my students at university that they've disproved evolution many times over. I mean, whatever, I won't go there now.
Explain the evolution.
The amount of that I have to give curves, then I have to make the tests easier, and so on and so forth, and grade inflation. It's certainly, they disprove any type of evolution. But nonetheless, generally, there is a spiritual devolution. As you get further and further from Sinai, then things get watered down. And over here, what they were able to retain is that a later generation was able to be on the same stature as the earlier generation. Ephraim and Menashe are like Reuven and Shimon. That's the bracha. The bracha is that there shouldn't be an age gap, that there shouldn't be a devolution, that we shouldn't find a separation. Okay, that's the simple Dvar Torah. But what's the implication of it? That Yosef was supposed to be one of the 12 tribes, and therefore Yosef gets a portion like all the other 12. Once Yosef is replaced by Ephraim and Menashe, that indicates that Yosef gets a double portion. Yosef, instead of one person, now gets two to replace him. So therefore, that's Shechem Echad Alechecha. I'm giving you an extra portion. So instead of one portion of Yosef, now there are two portions of Ephraim and Menashe. And that seems to be the straightforward interpretation over here of the Targum and of the Bereishit Arbati. Because he gets that, this is the implication that he got the firstborn, the Bechora. He gets the firstborn, and therefore the double portion.
So he is now Bimkom Reuven.
Yes.
But in the phrase,
Reuven gets replaced in different portions, but different aspects of Reuven get replaced by different people. Which means it could be that he should have had the Malchut that goes to Yehuda. The inheritance goes to Yosef. We know that the origin of the firstborn is supposed to work as the Kohanim that goes to Levi, which means that. Everything gets divided up. Yeah.
The prayers, whenever in Yom Kippur or Shoshana, it says, my favorite child, Ephraim. It doesn't say, my favorite child, Ephraim and Menashe.
That goes to separate issues between the Ephraim and Menashe.
But Ephraim is the one that becomes...
But they're both tribes. They're both tribes. That's the important thing. Is that none of the other children of all the other 11 sons of Yaakov become tribes. These two are tribes. And that's the bracha that Ephraim and Asher are like Reuven and Shimon, which means the simple reading of that means that they're going to get a double portion. And that's what he's following up and saying over here. So you look at the source I gave you in source 1, Ephraim and Asher, Reuven and Shimon, you leave, and Vanina Tatecha Shechem Achad Alechecha becomes really another way of stating the same thing. In source 6, the Targum Yonatan, who generally we're used to him being a little more fanciful and bringing Midrashim, he actually says something very similar to Rashi over here. Vani hinei natati lecha et ha'ir shel Shechem chelek achad lematana. You notice he does both. He used both interpretation of the word Shechem over here. Both interpretation that it means the city and the interpretation that it means a portion. Ha'ir shel Shechem chelek achad lematana yoter alachecha. So this thing that we heard from Rashi, over here we see Targum Yonatan knows of the same tradition that Yaakov also had to end up getting involved in the war over there. Okay, let's look at the way that the Ibn Ezra, who you know is very often more interested in Pshat, and look at the way that he... gives a little bit more nuanced interpretation. Shechem Achad, Yesh Omer, Ki El Ir Shechem Ramaz. There are those who say that this is, he's not willing to say Pshat. He's not willing to say that the city of Shechem is the Pshat over here. He's willing to say that it's a Remez, that it hints to the city of Shechem. Ki Gam Hi Hayta Levnei Yosef, and why? Because why does this become compelling? Because we know that Yosef, it ends up going to Yosef. So it's meaning he's saying that it's not pshat. Again, let me make this very easy. He's saying it's not pshat, but it's a remez. It's a very interesting turn of language. The fact that Yaakov used that word and the city ends up going to him, he ends up getting an extra portion, and his extra portion ends up going to Yosef and ends up becoming the city of Shechem. So he finds that as a very interesting remez. What does it mean, v'charbi uvakashti? Al Hashem kasher David megini v'keren yishi. Which I will explain as we go on. V'nachon be'enai shepirish Shechem echad chelek echad. And if you can ask me honestly, what does the word Shechem mean? It does not mean the city. It means a portion. I'm giving you a double portion. V'humi mishpacha al shechmam ulavdo Shechem echad. Okay. Al achecha nosaf al achecha v'tam asher lakachti asher yichu Yisrael b'chirbam uvikishtam. Which means, as far as he's concerned, asher lakachti is future. It's not past tense. Which I will take. Which you will capture. V'yizkir emori b'vor she'im b'shivat goyim chazak kimohu. The emori, because they're the strongest of them. Halo tirah shena gushne melchei emori agdolim amar Yehoshua l'teit otam b'yada emori v'al titma al milat lakachti ki la'ach shashem natna mepeh la'avraham hem yichshavu shehu shelahem. And it's a little strange. He says, oh, don't worry that it says it, you know, in the past tense, because once God gave it to Avram, it's as if it's theirs already, which I don't understand. If it's theirs already, then why say Asher Lakachti? Say Asher Yerashti. So he says, Asher Lakachti is the future. So you realize the Ibn Ezra himself is having a little difficulty with this, because, again, it's not an easy verse. The difficulties of the verse are compounded. On the one hand, you have this Shechem. What does the word Shechem mean? On the other hand, what does it mean, Asher Lakachti? So Rashi was forced to do what? To create a whole narrative that we were unaware of. As you said, hold it, that's not in my Tanakh. Correct. He's asked to create a whole narrative how Yaakov gets involved in the war and Yaakov has to take out his sword and therefore he can say that which I took. On the other hand, the very verse that Yaakov quoted to say that Yosef was buried there is the verse which tells us what? That Yaakov bought it, which we also saw earlier. So the whole, as I said, the verse is not simple. Let's continue. The Rashbam, who we also know, likes to tell us what he calls pshat. Hineinu chimeit v'yadua ani shacharei motiel elokimi machem v'shivetchem el eretz avotechem la'achar ba'mot shana shenemru la'avraham. Which means, just like I told you at the very beginning, what he's talking about, you're going to go back, keep in mind the Brit Bein Avtarim. That's exactly what the Rashbam does over here. Keep in mind the Brit Bein Avtarim. That's the issue. Va'ani ba'oto ha'aretz natati lecha chelek achad yoter al achecha. I gave you an additional portion to your brothers. Shemanashe v'Ephraim ki Reuven Shimon you elite. So again, what I showed you with the verses, that's exactly what the Rashbam says. He tells us that this is pshat. And you know what? Rashbam is pretty convincing that this is in fact the pshat. Shnei chelakim ba'aretz asherni uvanai atidim lakachat miyada emori b'charbi v'kashti b'melchemet Yoshua. And what does it mean that we took? It means took, that you are going to do in the future. And again, that's the only part that he has to work a little bit hard. But he will nuance this in a second.
He's,
I'm not ignoring you. V'alfa pisha katav b'yoshua lo b'charecha v'lo b'kashtecha oto basuk v'shnei malchei morim medaber v'kamo shamur chachamim tzara lo avra et yadein v'ktiv b'yoshua v'shlech lefnei metatzara v'tigrash otem shnei malchei morim v'shubar yadein v'lo b'cher b'cha v'lo b'kashtecha z'chuto shil Yaakov garam lahem. That it was the z'chut of Yaakov that allowed them to be victorious. So therefore, the Rashbam is forced to do is to say that, yes, that the verse is referring to the future, when Yeshua is going to capture it, but how is Yeshua able to capture it? B'zchut Yaakov, who already, by the way, I can even say, I mean, because he bought it. B'zchut that he bought it. And therefore they're able to capture, because this is theirs. Of course, all of you know the irony that the places that we actually bought with money are the places that are most contentious. So we will not say what the moral of that story is. The Radak pretty much follows the Rashbam. Remember, he gave us all, we saw in the Sefer Shorashim, all the different interpretations. So over here... Anochi meit, source 9, karov l'mita, v'ani mitzaveh, ki sheyashiv Hashem etchem klom azar achem el eretz avotechem, shilecha chelek echad el achecha, v'hu chelek habichora, shenatati lecha shasiti Ephraim menashe, keruvim v'shimon, shetitol ata shnei chelakim b'chalukat ha'aretz. So what does it mean? Shechem echad, you're getting a double portion. And it goes again back to this point of Ephraim menashe, keruvim v'shimon. Rav Hirsch doesn't like anybody. He doesn't like anything. If you are a great fan of Diktuk, you may even understand what he says. If you are not, then you will not. But he tells us all the interpretations that are wrong. Shchem achad alachecha, shchem smucha le'echad. U'mikan she'i afshar lafereish ota kishem prati, kishem shel ir. So he says, because it's shchem achad, it can't be a city. Again, I'm not going to try to explain it. You saw what he said. V'gamim ne'lech be'ikvut ha'pirush ha'ragil, v'nefereish shchem chelek, which is like what Rashi tried to tell us, goral, hari adayin lo nitba'ara mila achad, achad mishum makom einenu echad, ba'ofen muchlat, elo tamid, echad mitoch shnayim u'yoter, echad mitoch rabim, mikan she'ein lefareish natati lecha chelek achad yoter mi'asher lechecha, therefore it can't mean portion. Uv'yisodo shel davar ein gam asmachti lefareish shchem chelek, you can't say it's a chelek, ein shchem ela katef. But what does it mean? It means a shoulder. So that's...
What does it mean?
A shoulder. Just like we saw with Shem. Hanosat misra o masa. Somebody carrying over something of importance. Vatiya misra al shechmo, as it says in Yeshayahu, that the responsibility will be on his shoulders. Misra over here means, like we use the word modern Hebrew, misra, a job. Over here, it means that authority will be on his shoulder. Hamisra al shechmo. Hasiroti misevel shechmo. By the way, with Christmas coming, I will point out that verse, Vatim Amisra al Shechmo, you're saying, what is that with Christmas? That when missionaries claim, or the New Testament claims, that in Yeshayo, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yudalid, it says that the young woman is with child, so they claim, they mistranslated to say that the virgin will become pregnant, but it says a young woman, Hara is present and she is pregnant. In two chapters later, Perek Tet, it says she gave birth. This pasuk is about the child that gave birth, which is around 700 years before Jesus was born, which really does ruin the Christmas story for you a bit. So I'm sorry for that. But you could just say this was Menach Shemayim that he actually quotes this, and we see this today. Anyway, excuse me? Oh, he has the longest name in Tanakh. Look up Yeshayahu, Perek Tet, Pasuk Hey and Vav. Right. Nimsa perusha miluli natati lecha et katvo shel echad omed mi alachecha, klomer natati lecha et hamasava hamisra shel rishon ben achecha. Hitalti alecha et hazchut v'chova liyatzeg oti b'moti, lamod b'rosham lanhig otam. That Yaakov is saying to Yosef, I am placing you in charge. That you are taking my place. With my death, you are going to be the one who will be in charge of all the brothers. You will be the new leader. And that's what Shechem Echad means. It means shoulder. You will now shoulder the responsibility. That's the way that Rav Hirsch... But again, the reason he gets to this is because of dicta considerations of every other interpretation that he rejects. And if... Yes?
But he does not reject the interpretation of portion.
He did. A little... higher up, because of dicta.
Because of the word ahad.
Right.
The word ahad only connected to a noun.
Right. So that's what, and it says ahad here, so he doesn't like, so therefore he rejects chelek.
Okay, but portion is also a noun, just like shoulder. So I really don't understand why does...
You're not the only one. You're not the only one.
And it does not explain about the word ahad.
Right. So, as I said...
Why can't the word ahad be connected to shoulder?
So you're going to have to take this up with somebody who actually knows Diktuk. Okay, as I said, you can look it over again, but he does reject all of them. All of his rejections is because of Diktuk considerations. Let's... Yeah, but he doesn't... But it doesn't seem to like it. Let's go to 12. Shchem echad alachecha. This is Hadar Zakenim, which is from the school of Tosfot, and there are other of the Tosfot school who give the same interpretation.
Midrash. Why is this so important? I don't understand the importance of order.
You're about to see.
Huh?
You're about to see.
Okay.
Have patience.
Nice to meet you. Shchem echad alachecha. Midrash. He quotes a midrash that we know from various schools of Tosfot, but we don't know from the source itself. Shchem mamash. So what does Shchem mean? It means literally Shchem, which is the city. Kidichtiv, and this is very similar to Rashi. Ve'atatzmot Yosef kivru b'Shchem. Moshal liganavim sheganvu chavit malayayin umatz'am balabayit. Amar lehem b'chasidichem acher tishtu ayayin hichziru liya chavit limkomo. Kach Yosef b'Shchem ganvuhu uv'Shchem hichziru ha'atzamot. Actually, this is a bit cynical. That first of all, he's implying that Yaakov is really speaking to the brothers as well. You have a moral responsibility. What's your moral responsibility? You kidnapped Yosef. You took him out of Shechem. Where do you have a moral responsibility to return him to? You were more responsible to return him to Shechem. So therefore, Yaakov says, I am giving you the portion of Shechem in order to facilitate the brothers to complete their tshuva, as it were, to bring Yosef back. Now, you're going to say to me again now, so why is this important? So now I'll tell you why this is important. And does Rashi agree with this? This is also the background, which means this is the one part of Shechem that we've left out. I mean, there's actually, I could have brought you a nice Ma'amar Chazal that says, be careful of Shechem. Shechem is always bad things. Yeah, Shechem. Yeah, whenever you hear Shechem, you know bad things are going to happen. Shechem is not a good place. Shechem is where, you know, the Dina, Shechem Yosef, Shechem, I mean, Shechem is where bad things happen. And over here, we talked about Dina, really, by extension. We talked about what Shimon and Levi did, but we didn't necessarily speak about the other thing that happened in Shechem, and that is the kidnapping of Yosef, and then the Mechira, which really leads us to what I think is the main question, and the most intriguing question, part of this. And that is, did Yaakov ever know about it? Did Yaakov ever know about the Mechira? This midrash, quoted by the Hadar Zakenim, answers that question absolutely yes. And that Yaakov, before he dies, he says, oh yeah, by the way, you guys took something, you better put it back where you took it from. When did he find out? Who told? Which means, over here, that's what I'm saying, Esther, you agree with me? That's an intriguing question. Just yes or no.
Yes.
Okay. I can't get her to say yes or no.
But that they turned Yosef there, it didn't prevent the punishment that we got all through the generation because of it.
Right.
And Shechem is also the two mountains.
Exactly.
That are more than the
Kalot. Correct. Correct.
It doesn't mean that he knew that the brothers
in that. It certainly leads. It leads in that direction. Okay, let me say this again. Even the Rashi that we started with this sensibility of saying, oh, we're going to give you Shechem. So let me ask you, why? Very simple question. Why should Yaakov give him Shechem of all places? There are many nice places in the land of Israel. Why Shechem? So the one thing that I could say about Shechem. So what does it do with Yosef? Which exactly, that's exactly the point, which means we just took this as a granted. Oh, Yosef is buried in Shechem. So why is Yosef buried in Shechem? So this midrash actually gives an answer to it, that Yaakov says, you know, bring him back to where you took him from. So that makes a lot of sense. But then it's saying, and again, this midrash is pretty clear. Mashal, right? Liganavim sheganvu. One second, is that clear enough? To thieves that stole something, this is very clear that this midrash is indicating that Yaakov knows about the sale of Yosef, and that's why he chooses Shechem.
Is there anything in the Teamim which can help us interpret if there's any kind of pause after Shechem?
I'll look. Do not promise you any success.
And is that the first inheritance that any of his brothers received?
Yes. I never understood why they don't teach girls or women ta'amim. Not so they should be able to read, that they should be able, I mean, read the Torah publicly, they should understand what it says. We're so stupid sometimes. Yeah, so just think about it a second. Especially, okay, fine, I'll stop. Shechem Echad. It says it together. Shechem Echad. V'ani netate ilcha Shechem Echad alachecha. Okay. The Gemara doesn't quite go... Maybe. See, the Gemara is dealing with a different question. Why Yosef is buried in Shechem? I'm going to show you... Let's be careful what it says and what it doesn't say. In source 13, Kivru b'Shechem, Yosef was buried in Shechem. Maishnochem, why Shechem? Amar Rav Chama bar Chanina, Mishchem ganvuhu, from Shechem he was stolen, Ulo Shechem nechzir avidato, and from Shechem you have to return the avidah, return what was lost. I mean, that's the rule. I mean, he stole. Now, that explains why the brothers bring him to Shechem. Which means this Gemara is not dealing with our Pasuk in Bereshit, it's dealing with the Pasuk in Yoshua. Asking in Yoshua, why was Yosef buried there? Now you can already say something broader. In Yoshua, why was Yosef buried there? So you can say, well, because that is the portion of Yosef. One second, of Ephraim. One second. It's the portion, right? It's Ephraim there. Am I correct? Agree with me. It's Ephraim. So... Now you could say, well, why does he get Ephraim? Why does Ephraim get that particular land? And that's through the Goral, right? Why does he get that land? In order that again, it's circular so that Yosef can be buried there. But neither of these indications, either the Goral or the burial, have anything to do with our Pasuk. It was the Hadra Zakenim that went and applied it to our Pasuk. Because, as I said, we didn't know what the word Shechem meant. The Shechem meant could have meant portion. The word Shechem could have meant something else. Leadership, as we saw. The Shechem could have meant lots of things. But... if I say the word Shechem means the city of Shechem specifically, again, just consider the irony. Yaakov could have said, and this was Rashi's second interpretation, this is what Ibn Ezra preferred, what the Rashbam preferred, that the word Shechem means what? That's the additional portion that Yaakov receives. Now, how did the Ibn Ezra refer to when he said the city of Shechem? He said, oh, it's a remez. It's a city of Shechem. It's very interesting. You can say, oh, look at Yaakov Avinu, that even when he speaks, he's talking about something else. It's still a remez. You know, to the city it was going to be. That's all very nice. But the Ibn Ezra is really, really careful. He says that's a remez. It's not the city, because it can't mean the city. But if I insist like Rashi that it does mean the city, now I have to ask myself the question. So why is, as far as Rashi is concerned, why is Yosef going to be buried here? And then the implication is, what? That he knows about it. Which means that's the implication of the Rashi. That's why this Rashi is interesting. Yes. Yes. No. Yes and no. Yes and no. Yes and no. We'll see that in a moment. Let's look at another place that Rashi also says it, but you'll tell me he doesn't say it, but you'll be wrong because he does say it. But it's subtle, but it's there. Let's look at source 14. Because Rashi says this in three places, as far as I can tell. I was looking for it a bit, and there may be other places that say it clearer. If you find it, you'll let me know.
Why wouldn't it be said to the brothers?
What?
Why is this specific directed to Yosef and not to the brothers?
Well, to Yosef, he's saying that I'm giving this to you. This is yours. The reason for it is what that Midrash is telling us. Look at source 14. This was in the middle of our negotiations, Vayom Aleim Yaakov Aviyim. Oti shikaltem, Yosef einenu, v'shimon einenu, v'binyamin tikachu, alaya kulana. Right? This is when Yaakov is beside himself and they want to bring Binyamin and Yosef is gone and Shimon is gone. Look at Rashi. Oti shikaltem, Melamed shechashdan shema herguhu o machruhu ki Yosef. Okay, how do you understand that, Rashi? Yaakov just now made an analogy between what happened to Yosef and what happened to Shimon. And it says that he's suspicious that perhaps they killed him or they sold him like Yosef. One second. Did you ever notice this Rashi before? May not have been there last week, right? This Rashi over here, again, you could read it otherwise in the way that I'm reading it, but yeah, it sounds very much that Yaakov is suspicious and doesn't trust them and thinks now maybe they killed Shimon. Maybe that's why Shimon is not back. And they treated Shimon. Maybe they killed him. Maybe they sold him like Yosef. So Rashi over here sure seems to indicate that at least, you want to minimize this? You can say at least Yaakov has his suspicions. Okay? Black and white or no? Here's another place which is a little less black and white, but I think it's here as well. Also in Vayechi, Vayeshov Yaakov Mitzrayim, Uhu Vechavachol Olimito, Lekvorot Aviv, Achorei Kvorot Aviv, Vayiru Achei Yosef Kimet Avim, Vayiru Lu Yistameinu Yosef, Vashiv Yashiv Lanu Et Kol HaRasha Gamalnu Oto. This is really the sad part of the parasha, that after all these years, they say Yosef's going to pay us back. V'yitzavu el Yosef le'mor, v'icha tziva lefnei moto le'mor. And they say, they command Yosef, saying, this is what your father said before he died. Which is also strange, because if Yaakov's going to command them, they should have commanded Yosef. Kol tamru li'Yosef, anasana pesha achecha v'chatatam, ki rag malucha, v'atasana lefesha avdei elokei avicha, v'yefke Yosef b'deber me'lav. Where they claim that Yaakov said, don't mistreat them for the bad things they did to you. And Yosef cried, even when he was being accused of this. Now, there is an opinion in the Gemara that the brothers lied, that Yaakov never said this. So if you follow that opinion of the Gemara, the brothers lied, this is one of the sources you're allowed to, for Shalom Bayit, right, for one is allowed to lie, or at least change the truth. Over here, you don't have to say it. You can say that Yaakov did know. Right? Again, how do you understand this? Do you say that Yaakov did know? Or do you say Yaakov didn't know? Here is the only time in the Chumash, again, as far as I can tell, that it actually there's an indication that Yaakov knew. But over here, the Gemara wants to say that Yaakov didn't necessarily know, or at least as far as the Gemara is concerned, Yaakov never said this.
Then why didn't he punish all the brothers?
Exactly for the same reasons. According to the Gemara, Yaakov never said it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that he wouldn't have agreed with it. V'yichu gam achav yiplu fanav v'yimu yinein l'chal v'adim v'yom l'mi Yosef al tiroch ki atachet elokim ani v'atem chashavtem alai ra'ah elokim chashva l'tova l'manasei ki yom hazeh l'chot amrav v'ata al tiroch anochi achakel etchem v'tapchem v'yaneichem otchem v'yidaber el libam. Yosef makes up with them, but over here we have this tension. Look what Rashi says, avicha tziva shinu bidvar b'pnei hashalom. So Rashi over here is accepting the Gemara's perspective that the brothers are saying something which is untrue, that Yaakov never said it. Shina bidavar b'pnei hashalom. That the brothers, the not nice way of saying this is lied. You can think of a nicer way of saying it. But the brother...
Also when they went back to Yosef and told him it, but
correct.
Father said this and this, so then we know that they're lying.
That was also, they lied for shalom because their father would have killed them. Okay, so
But he punished. But in the brachos.
So one second. I know. And over there, there's another verse. You're right. I could have brought that verse also. But the question is, uveritzon ikushor. The question is, what is it that was originally supposed to be here? In my original thought, that was here. It's not here on paper. Uveritzon ikushor. There's also an indication that he knew about the sale of Yosef. Correct. Over here, Rashi then continues and says, Ki lo tziva Yaakov kein, because Yaakov did not command this, shelo nechshad Yosef be'inav, because he never suspected that Yosef would behave that way. What's the implication of Rashi? Not because he never knew. I mean, Rashi just as easily could have said, Yaakov never said it because he never knew about the Mechira. What does he say instead? He says, Yaakov never said it because he never suspected the brothers. The fact that Rashi says he never suspected the brothers tells you that according to Rashi, again, we've already seen a number of places, that Rashi would seem to believe that Yaakov did indeed know about the sale. Just one second. Let me take a look at what Rashi says there. This is in Perek Mem Tet. Posakeshim v'leiv achim kleichem asmechor te'em b'sodam al tavod nafshi b'kolam al te'achad ki wadi ki ba'apam hergu ish uvritzonam ikru shor. Rashi writes, Ratzula akorat Yosef shenekra shor shenemar b'chor shero hador lo. So over here is another indication on Rashi that as far as Rashi is concerned, Yaakov knew about the Mechira. Unless you're going to say that this was all said prophetically and doesn't even understand what he's saying, which I think is a difficult position, because now you already have four places that you can indicate that Rashi in fact knows. Rashi thinks that Yaakov knows about Mechirat Yosef. Why would you say he doesn't know about it? Well, look at source 18. This is Midrash Tanchuma. And I'll tell you the truth, I find this Midrash a little difficult, but Midrash is fantastic. When I say fantastic, I'm using from the word fantasy, but it's absolutely fantastic. Amru nachrim beinenu shelo yagid achad mimenu Yaakov Avinu. After they sell Yosef, they all say, whoever tells Yaakov is going to be put in cherem. Right? You can still hear elements of this today. Amalam Yehuda Reuven Einu Kan ve'ein cherem et cheim elo ba'asara. So he quotes a technical thing in terms of law that you need there to be 10 people. Reuven's not here. Ma'asu shatfu kadosh baruch hu boto acherim shelo yagid lavihim. They were 9 of them, and this is like when you have 9 men for a minion, you don't have a 10th, then you use God, use the Sefer Torah. So they over here made God the 10th. God was involved in swearing. By the way, according to this Midrash then, if all of them, kevon shiyard Reuven b'layel lo to abor lo to v'lo matzu karat begadav u'bacha chazar lachav amar lema yelad inenu v'ani ana aniva. They told him what happened, and they told him that there's a cherem, and he was quiet. He accepts the cherem. And even though it says that God tells things to Yaakov, Magid Dvarv Yaakov, you may recognize this from the Pesuk de Zimra. This thing he never told because God accepted the cherem. Amar Yaakov Taraf Taraf to Yosef, and therefore Yaakov says, oh, Yosef is dead. What my mother was referring to in source 19, it says, Ve'yakumu kol banav v'kol benotav l'nachamo, v'yuma'ein lehi nachem, v'yomer ki eredo b'ni avel sh'ola, v'yef koto aviv. So it says that all of his children got up to comfort him, and he said, I'm going to go to my grave mourning for my son, v'yef koto aviv. What is v'yef koto aviv? It means that his father cried for him. So the simple pshat would seem to be that Yaakov cried for Yosef, but it's awkward. Therefore, Rashi says, "Vayef goto aviv." His father cried for him. Vayef goto aviv Yitzchak hayaboche b'bnei tzaratos shel Yaakov. The Yitzchak cried for Yaakov. Avaloya mitabel shayodeya shehu chai. But he didn't because he knew he was alive. That means that Yitzchak knows about the mechirat Yosef. Yitzchak knows that he's still alive, and Yitzchak does not reveal this to Yaakov. A little more is added in source 21. Vayefk oto aviv, ze Yitzchak, kishaya etzo Yaakov haya boche, kevin shahaya yotze mietzlo, haya rochetz v'sach v'ochel v'shote. V'loma lo gila lo, amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo gila, v'ani magalelo. He goes, God didn't tell him, I'm going to tell him. So basically Yitzchak is saying that... that when you have a prophecy and God doesn't tell it to a prophet, then you shouldn't be the one to tell it. That prophecy should be kept quiet. Which, by the way, actually explains something we discussed a couple of months ago. Oh, what's that? Rivka doesn't tell Yitzchak, same person, about her prophecy that she receives regarding Yaakov and Esav. Over here you see that Yitzchak actually agrees with this strategy or this mode of behavior. That if you have a prophecy and God doesn't say it to somebody else, then you don't necessarily share it with them. So what do we conclude? That as much as you may have been confused in the beginning about why are we talking about this and what's the significance about this one word Shechem over here, it ends up being quite significant because at the end of the day, what Rashi did, and let's understand what he did, Rashi did deviate from the simple interpretation. The simple interpretation is like the Ibn Ezra and is like the Rashbam, is saying that it's an additional portion. It fits into the chapter. It makes a lot of sense. They are forced to do something else, which is irrelevant on this point, and that is to talk about the future. To say, Shalakachti is the future. The only one who succeeds in saying it's the past is really those related to Esav and Yishmael, which I said I'm not going to get into. But they are claiming the word Shechem means portion. It works very easily. When Rashi tells us that Shechem is really the city, again, according to his first interpretation, that Shechem is really the city, then for Rashi it's too much of a coincidence. What's the coincidence? That he's talking about where Yosef will be buried. He's talking the portion he's going to get. I mean, you'll note that Rashi actually uses both together. He says, Shechem mamash, hi tiyeh lo chelek echad yitera. So he uses the word chelek and Shechem both, as the Targum Yonatan did. As I said, for Rashi looking for deeper meanings and insight over here, so he says that Shechem has to be the same Shechem that Yosef is buried in. It's too much of a coincidence. We know Yosef is buried there. What did Rashi then have to do? We have to cut off the second half of the pasuk regarding Shechem. Because what did it say in that pasuk? That Yaakov actually purchased it. Not a question of going to battle for this. Although, at the end of the day, Yoshua, his army, do have to go to war. And as I said, it's very easy to say that this is talking about the future. The implication of this Rashi, which as I said was very easy to miss, the implication of this Rashi we only saw when we saw the other Midrash quoted by the Hadar Zakenim, which is what? That this means that he actually knew about the Mechira. And that, as I said, becomes a much more of an interesting issue. Because you know what? That of course, is the proverbial elephant in the room for the next, what is it? How many years is it? How many more years till Yaakov passes away? Okay, someone will do the math. It says it black and white in the beginning of the parsha. What? It says exactly how many years. So you'll see it. I'm not going to guess. But I'm saying that whenever Yaakov is there with Yosef, with the brothers, this is always in the background. And you do have to ask yourself, did Yaakov ever say to Yosef, by the way, did you make a wrong turn going up to Shechem? I mean, how exactly did you get here? Or did he never ask? Or did he just figure that Yosef was kidnapped along the way? Which means, I mean, to create an alternative scenario is quite possible.
But Yosef was very adamant before his brother that this was on the hand of God.
Correct.
And to be here.
Yeah. If Yaakov ever asked him, we presume he would have given the same answer, God sent me here.
That would be
correct.
Very accepted by Yaakov as well.
But at least...
Isn't it also that Yaakov didn't have his Ruach HaKodesh
correct.
When,
correct.
So when Yosef came back, and presumably it returned, so then maybe it all became very clear to him.
Correct. Even though we may be naive in thinking that Ruach HaKodesh means that you know everything about everything. It doesn't necessarily mean that God shares every piece of information with you, but correct, yeah.
That's kind of what I was going to ask. Is it possible that it's like his mouth spoke, but he didn't know what he was saying?
As I said, you could say that regarding the brachot, certainly, when Yaakov starts to speak.
But the brachot, if this assumption that you and Yaakov knew, then in the brachot that was given, the same way that he hinted to Shimon and Levi being punished because of their temper, then where is it indicated that he punished the boys for selling Yosef?
He seems to be blaming them the most for it. He seems to blame Shimon and Levi the most for it, because also there it says Vayomer Ish El Achiv, and Ish El Achiv Rashi there also says it's Shimon and Levi. He blames Shimon and Levi the most.
At what point does he know about the sale?
According to Rashi. According to Rashi, he actually had suspicions earlier. That's also what's interesting. Even during the time that he doesn't know, he has suspicions about it. Maybe that was the Rashi which surprised us the most. That he says, "Oh, maybe you're gonna do to Binyamin what you already did to Shimon, you already did to Yosef." So he has suspicions there over there. So at which point does he know? I can't answer it, but I could point to that Rashi saying that he already was suspicious of their nefarious behavior at that point. Okay. Chazak, chazak, v'nitchazek.